Hi, everyone, and welcome to Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Gospel, the service in the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome Reverend Wynn Henderson. Wynn, how are you?
I'm doing good, Neil. How are you today?
Good, fantastic.
And Howard, how are you?
Wonderful.
Okay, everybody's ready to go. Today's show is called A Plea for Peace. And this may seem simplistic, but in essence, human beings simply want to live in peace. Today's show is this plea for peace among us. Masses of people, often with the help of social media, are being fed lies to instigate violence and dissension against one another. It's America versus America, neighbor versus neighbor, like never before, and all the while, our international enemies are gleefully dancing in their offices. But we are better than this. We do not have to let extremists stir us up into a primordial froth. Now, of course, most of the people around the world listening to this podcast today do not subscribe to the ways of hatred and violence. But violence has a way of contaminating the most peace-loving among us. This stems from inequality, an unwillingness to see all people as people first. And now, suddenly, in this country, it isn't safe to be a minority, nor to advocate for the equality among us, an equality that we must have to evolve. So now, more than ever in our shattered country's history, we must all speak up for the ways of peace. We all know someone who is part of the advocacy toward hatred and violence. We each must find a way to help these people turn toward good and godliness. And that's no easy task. But peace is not born of silence, and peace is not simply the absence of violence. Peace is in our thoughts and hearts, in our communities. We must find ways to get together and stop heading down this deadly path. We must call our communities together to talk to each other and inspire calm, honor, and integrity. My guest today is Howard Bronson. Howard has been on the show many times, 7, I think. He is, in my estimation, the most critically thinking philosopher of the 21st century. When Howard talks, you should listen. And today we're going to have a chance to find out what Howard has to say. How are you doing, Howard?
Doing great, Reverend, and it's an honor to speak with you.
What are you saying that our enemies are sowing dissent among Americans? We have a feeling that this is true, and maybe even some proof, but what about our enemies causing additional dissent and problems with hate and violence in America?
In my observations, we always have mild dissent in this country. It's actually what makes this country great, that we have a richness and diversion of opinions. That's a great thing. But what happens is when those opinions are exacerbated, when they're exaggerated, then you get people who become, instead of in discussion or debate, you get people who become more antagonistic toward one another. Like in a relationship, when you're discussing an issue, and I contend that in any intimate relationship, any marital relationship, you never have to fight. What happens is people have discussions, suddenly they start pushing each other's buttons, and they start attacking each other. We start attacking the people that we love the most. And we basically love each other in America. We respect our differences. But what's happened is some international elements, and there's plenty of evidence of troll farms that are doing this, and it can be traced right back to it, like what's going on right now against people of color, against the Jews, against the Chinese, that these are being exacerbated to the most vulnerable people, forming groups online on social media that are causing erstwhile kind and harmonious societies and people in our community to not get along.
It's well known that other countries would like to destroy America, and they're not up to destroying America militarily. They might be up to destroying America with viruses, but they also would like to destroy America from the inside by causing so much hate and violence that we can't continue our society. It's just another way of fighting against our country, is it not?
Yes, you're exactly right, Reverend. It's about infecting the social bloodstream. And our enemies know that if they can inspire this and they can instigate this, their goal is to help to bring us down from within without firing a shot, while they sit back and laugh at us and call us the American laboratory, the American experiment. And we're better than this. We can do better together. We can do better collectively. We always do better when we work together. And our enemies know this. And our enemies are very envious of our success and our prosperity and the fact that so many of our citizens live in freedom and can get information and can make decisions and can think for themselves and can live more in hope than in fear. That's what we want for the rest of the world. But that's not what we're seeing. So instead of these countries that can't do that, all they want to do is hold on to their power. It's like someone, you know, wanting to keep their job and saying whatever vile things they can or doing whatever they can do to keep their job, like we see sometimes in Congress, instead of doing their job. So every American citizen has a job, has a responsibility to find out how they can talk to people that they were convinced became their enemies. And a few years ago, these people weren't their enemies. All of a sudden they are? That doesn't make sense.
So I don't think that we're going to be able to change the desire of other countries to get rid of America. But what we have to do is figure out how to combat that from the inside by changing our values to make America a more inclusive and loving place. Just my opinion.
Well, you know, when my children, I have five children, and I still have two young children who live at home, and you know, sometimes when they're fighting, as children will, I could sit down and I can be the therapist, which I am, and I can say, well, it's you express your feeling and you express your, you know, and they don't care about that. Basically, what I say to them is, hey, guys, come on, get along. And I think about 25 years ago when Rodney King was beaten, and it was one of the first incidents of, you know, someone of color being beaten, and it was recorded, it was on film. And then there were riots after the adjudication or the exoneration of those policemen. And he got on international media, and he said, can't we all just get along? And, you know, sometimes it's that simple. So when I look at foreign countries and, you know, I talk to people around the world and I talk to people that normally, under normal circumstances, would hate me because I exist, because of my belief system or because I'm American, they don't, because I have that gratitude in my heart that we can all get along. At the core, we all have the same wants and needs. The couples I work with that are fiercely fighting and hurting each other. Hold on, guys, stop. You don't want to hurt each other. We want to live in prosperity. And the more in this world we have that basic premise that we are put here for some, why we're put here, and that's a whole theological discussion, but we're put here to love each other, to help each other, to respect the differences of all decent people. And when we do that, we are all in the world stronger.
In the introduction, you used the word primordial. It sounded like some elements of our society might be regressing. What did you mean by primordial, and where do you think that is going?
Well, yeah, very good question. For when I talk about being primordial, I talk about us reducing ourselves to ape-like behavior, a devolution. And for many factors, and it always takes two to tango. So you can't say it's the Republicans or it's the Democrats. It's the fact that people have taken on more of a fighting, primitive, antagonistic behavior. Look what's going on right now. If you're Jewish in New York and you're wearing a kippah, you're wearing a yarmulke, or if you're Chinese, you have gangs of marauding kids largely who are inspired by these websites online, some saying Hitler was right, you know, we should kill the Jews, we should kill the Chinese. Horrible, horrible things that are being fed into the minds of these kids. And where are the parents? The parents have basically given up. They said, oh, our kids are, you know, playing video games all the time. They're on their phones all the time. You know, we've really lost touch with our kids because social media, for the large part, is not social. It's extremely antisocial. And we have to pay better attention to the kinds of poisons and venom that our kids are fomenting, that our kids are absorbing and taking in, because those are where most of these, you know, most of the kids are getting their information and terrible misinformation. What's going on with the Jews right now, against the Jews, is just horrible. What went on against, and look, in the conflict with, you know, between Israel and Palestine and the Gaza, these are all human beings. We all need to find ways to get along. Nobody wants, you know, no Jew that I know wants to kill someone else, wants to do harm to someone else. They want to live in peace. But what are they going to do when someone's firing a missile that's landing in your backyard? You're going to just like sit there and go, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll just pretend it's fireworks. No, you know, you have to respond when it gets to that point. So we need to not get to that primordial level where we feel we need to kill another person, where we feel we need to kill another people because of their belief system. And we need to really get to the heart of that. We need such an uptick in our diplomatic efforts throughout the world. We've always needed that. We need people who really understand, you know, in a Christ-like or a Gandhi-like mentality or Martin Luther King mentality, how people can harmonize and get along.
Howard, it's so important, but what do you say to people that feel that their rights and the way they see things in life have been taken away from them in seconds?
Well, what you do, are you referring to Gaza, or are you referring to
referring to the United States as well in certain ways, just the way the virus happened and how our lives were turned upside down in response to it, and how mm-hmm. our business is closed to now everything is different in so many ways in our world.
Sure. It's interesting because my core thrust, and through COVID where, you know, we still have a lot of questions about where it came from. Is the vaccine safe? Is it not? What is the best way to treat yourself if you have COVID? Should you wear a mask? Should you not? What is a compromise of your rights? What happened really, Neil, is, people panic. And when we panic, you know, people get very extreme and they become very self-centered in terms of their own survival and their own self-preservation. And so it's a very, very tough issue because nobody wants to take anybody's rights away. Here we are in a free country. We want to be able to move about the world. But when you get, you know, a super spreader event or a crowd together of, let's just say for the sake of argument, that people are not socially distancing. And all of a sudden, you know, 70% of them become infected. What are we going to do? So we need clarity and we need leadership. We didn't have all the answers because we are a free country where you should, you know, be able to do what you want to do and practice what you want to practice, unless it's harming someone else. And that's the debate here. That's the side debate. What conduct would you be doing that's harming somebody else?
Howard, there are a lot of people that I know who think that the media news is aligning with telling about all the bad things that are happening. And I see it every day in that more and more news has to do with, we had a shooting in our town. And why is all this violence apparently increasing? And I say apparently because I don't know whether it is or not, but if it is, why? And should we be trying to take that in every day? I think it's bad for our mental health to only think about violence in our country, but what's your opinion?
Well, you know, the thing about America, and one of the things that makes America free is a free press, is that you can watch any of the key news channels that you believe or you subscribe to, and you have the right to get your information. And it's important that we know what's going on in this world. And shooting a gun, you know, we have guns. I hope I never have to use them. I'm not a big fan of guns. We just have them for emergency, for protection. But one of the things I learned when I was learning how to shoot a 44 Magnum was that the trigger was so sensitive, it was easier to pull the trigger of a gun that could make a 6-inch diameter hole than it is to push the button on a game, you know, one of the game electronic games that the kids play or a remote control. It's too easy to kill. And it becomes kind of like a frenzied event. And the line between crazy video games that kids play all day and overt reality and murder becomes blurred. And look what's going on in Chicago, where it's really an all-out war in some of the inner cities. So do you take all their guns away? We've talked about this before. You've got to look at the brain. You've got to look at the mentality and this you know, lack of sensitivity and the lack of value of human life, where someone can go and, you know, either kill someone they're annoyed with. It's just too easy. There was a town in South Africa, a village, and I can't remember all the details. I should research it, but I do remember the story that they somehow got an extraordinary cache of hand grenades. They were being stored and, in the military, and somehow they got looted and hand grenades got distributed all over the place. And these people were killing each other with hand grenades. It was horrific. There was another incident where, you know, people were stabbing each other in England about 2 years ago. There was such an upsurge in stabbing deaths, stabbing assaults and deaths, So it's a mentality. So, you know, what I need to see, what I want to see, I think what we all want to see is an awakening. And how do we get that awakening? Do we encourage people, you know, to turn to religion and turn to the ways of peace? And, you know, to some extent, yes, that's worked. And, you know, you as a minister would certainly argue that that is the way, that Christ is the way. Certainly the teachings, whatever you believe, certainly the teachings of Christ are the way. Question is, how do you get to people and how do you speak to them effectively? How do you get to the people, you know, on the front lines of violence? So I don't like to watch all this violence on TV, but what did I do? You know, the first thing when I wake up in the morning at 5:30 is turn on the news so I can understand that there's an event we need to talk about, because the news does shape us. But overall, I don't think anybody, you know, wants to see how bad things are, but we have to so that we can make it better.
You know, we talked about social media a few minutes ago, and in my job as a minister and doctor who wants to help people help themselves get rid of addictive problems because they hurt themselves and their families and the world in general, I find that there's over 30 that I can talk about. But I'm pretty sure that the most addictive problem in America today is internet, TV, and video games and social media. And that's not being recognized as such a big problem, which it is. Now, here's the thing. They talk about alcohol, for example. And that's a problem. But you have a lot more people who are addicted to the internet and all its various aspects than you do that are addicted to alcohol. But we're not getting the same kind of teaching and exposure to that. I think that from my own personal point of view, that if you would put that particular addiction in your brain as a very serious addiction and want to get help from it, you could read my book, Freedom from Addiction 3, available on Amazon, and find out how to stop it. We don't have time to talk about that today, but it's a significant problem, and I think we ought to address and talk about the addiction to the internet more than has been done in the past. You guys, what do you think?
Yes.
Well, yep. Go ahead, Neil.
I agree. I mean, I think that it's just, it's what it is, you know?
Well, I think what it is has been an insidious problem that started about 25 years ago. And if you look back to the seeds of a lot of the issues we have, you can go back centuries, but if you go back about 23, 24 years ago, when suddenly we started to all communicate through social media, we started to date through social media, we started to, you know, that's how we started to interact, we stopped being in each other's presence. Now, what's the plus side? The plus side is during COVID, we could kind of insulate and quarantine and we can still communicate. The negative is we can join groups or we can be fed misinformation on just about anything. And kids are vulnerable. You think kids are vulnerable? How about us, you know, at 1 or 2 in the morning when we're watching one of those hokey infomercials telling us that we need this, you know, new product that's going to grow our hair or you know, miracle weight loss, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And And, you know, so we are vulnerable. We're all vulnerable in certain environments to misinformation. Why do they run infomercials in the middle of the night? Because we're more vulnerable then. Why are kids, you know, being so, you know, concurrently being so contaminated and given so much misinformation that they're drinking in, that's becoming part of their DNA? Because they're kids and they're impressionable. And they get ideas in their head and they think, oh, okay, you know, people of color bad, I have to go get them. You know, and they're watching games about killing and eliminating enemies. So we do, you know, the bottom line is when, and Neil, we have to pay better attention to our kids and what they're doing and what they're thinking. That's the next generation. And if we want to have a generation coming up of sheer chaos and madness, then we can just say, okay, you know, let the video games, you know, let the phones babysit the kids, let them be by themselves. We're social beings and we need to be social. And certainly this COVID quarantine exacerbated all of that. And as our kids are reintegrating, you know, what I'm observing is a lot of kids are very unhappy. A lot of kids got very used to being alone and being with their games and being with their phones. And even though they're playing, you know, with their friends remotely when they're playing these games, they have to relearn the value of being social, of getting outside, of, you know, enjoying just being with their friends and not needing this addictive, as you point out so astutely, when this addictive tool, this phone, this electronic device, to be able to interact with people. It gets in the way, and we need to do what we can. And I think even up at the legislative level, we may need to, you know, mandate that no child, you know, should be allowed to be babysat with an electronic device for hours at a time. We need to act, and this is a very tough addiction. As you point out, Neil, I win. It's a very tough addiction.
Howard, we are both solution-oriented. And as a Christian minister, my solution is to follow the teachings in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus. Because in those teachings, you have the answers to everything that we've been talking about. But society is not motivated toward religion. They're motivated toward fun and doing things that, you know, that the Bible might preach against. I don't know how to reverse that, except to get on the air and tell people about what they could do to help be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And you know, my podcast, which is the longest running spiritual podcast in America, talks about these issues every week and is free. So I'm going to recommend that people listening today, wherever you are, subscribe to the podcast and listen to what we talk about, because it's going to be one of the most life-changing things that you can do for free. And that podcast is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no spaces, no capitals. And go over there and check it out and see what I'm talking about. Howard, it's been another pleasure to have you on the show for all your ideas that you've brought. You might want to tell them about your book, Speak Up, or if there's something else that you would like to say before we end this program.
Well, you know, you and I come from different religions, but I embrace your values. And I totally am in sync with your values. And one of the things I just wanted to add, since you and I are both, as you mentioned, solution-centered, is we can't just talk about Christ and Christianity. or we can't talk about Judaism or Buddhism or whatever it is we believe. We have to live our truth. And when we live our truth and we feel our truth, we're able to communicate to people in ways that are effective and loving. We can say, you need to find ways to get along. We need to find ways to resolve this problem. It's foolish to hurt one another. If we say to them, well, Buddha said this and Christ said that, you know, people may roll their eyes. But if we have the religion within our hearts, then we can change people. And I talk about this in my book and many other things in my new book, Speak Up. It's available at Waldorf Publishing, waldorfpublishing.com. Or if you want to learn more about what we're doing, because we're doing new things every day, we have a few new shows out that are circulating throughout the world, you can go to my own website, which is freeenterprisesolutions.com. I'll repeat that, freeenterprisesolutions.com. Lynn, thank you so much for the privilege of talking to you again and talking to your devoted listeners. You're doing good in this world, and we all really appreciate your work.
Thank you, Howard, and thank you, Neil, for helping spread this to the nation, which goes all over the country to well over 100 different markets and even outside of the country. And I appreciate both of you.
All right. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth to Us, Below the Service, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care, guys.